You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 61 of Take a Bow Podcast. I'm your host, Eli Tokash, and we have another very great interview today. An exciting episode, especially for me. I've been wanting to talk about a musical that is very dear to my heart, which is beginning their performances on October 25th. So that's very exciting. I cannot wait to see the show. I'm so glad that it's coming to New York. I cannot wait for more people to hear and be able to witness this beautiful story and this magical, magical musical that is Trevor. And today we have our first ever guest who's going to be in Trevor the Musical when it does appear off Broadway. And that guest is Luke Manicus, who is also someone who is very dear to me because he is kind of the one who just showed me the ropes of Broadway and figuring everything out. He was a pro already at the young age of 11 or 12, whatever age we were at the time. And he was just showing me around, and we talk a little bit about it in the episode, so I won't talk too much about it now. Needless to say, I'm very excited for this episode and very excited for you all to listen to it. He's been in Pippin, he was in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, he was in Matilda, and now he's going to be in Trevor the Musical, and he's currently at the University of Michigan. So he's doing all kinds of great things. He's a great, great performer, great person, and very excited for this episode. But before we turn it over to the episode itself in the interview portion, let's talk about some news, shall we? There's a lot of great things happening in the theater world. I want to start out this segment by congratulating Bryson Battle and Elena Holder, who are the 2021 Jimmy Award winners. That was, I don't know if anybody watched it, but what a beautiful event that was. And they totally were able to pull it off, even in this virtual setting. It's unfortunate that the young performers weren't able to do it on a Broadway stage, which is kind of like the wow factor behind the whole Jimmy Awards itself, and just being on a Broadway stage for the first time and nonetheless performing in one of the biggest houses on Broadway. I talk about it in a upcoming episode that's going to be coming out next week with a Jimmy Award finalist. And he also explains how these kids also were able to do it on a stage. But nonetheless, after watching that wonderful event, I know a lot of them will be up on that stage soon enough. So everyone was amazing. Congratulations to Bryson and Elena for winning. And congratulations to all the performers and finalists, because just to even get there is a huge, huge honor. So congratulations to everyone. And Bryson and Elena, if you're listening, I'm sending out my congratulations. And you guys are phenomenal, insanely talented. Just your voices are just like unbelievable. I love it. It's just so good. And I was so happy that they were able to pull it off in this virtual world that we're doing for the second time in back-to-back years, which is so bizarre. But hopefully next year we'll be able to do it in person and on a Broadway stage. So very exciting stuff. I don't know if anybody has been following this Andrew Lloyd Webber saga out in the UK and the West End. He is like doing a production of Cinderella. I've talked about it before on the podcast in this segment, in a previous episode. And he's doing a production of Cinderella out in the West End, but their opening night got like canceled due to COVID protocol and COVID precautions. And after that, like shortly after that, I believe, if not the same day, he had come out and said that they will no longer be opening the show in the West End. And he made the decision that after their opening night was canceled, that he was like, all right, we're canceling the whole production. I don't know what exactly happened. I don't know if someone in the cast got COVID and that kind of affected it. I don't know. It's kind of all still coming out slowly, and I'll keep you all posted. But it's very interesting just to see that, like, you know, you're opening a show and the day of opening it gets canceled and you've worked so hard on it, and now all of a sudden you're going to cancel the whole production. I don't know. It's unfortunate for, of course, Andrew Lloyd Webber himself, and of course everyone who was a part of the show, the cast, the creative team, the producers, everyone, just everyone. It's very unfortunate, and hopefully something is able to come out of it, something good, of course. Maybe it reopens at a later date. Maybe it comes to the States. Maybe it goes somewhere else. I don't know. But hopefully something does come of it, because I think, I don't know, like another version of Cinderella, I think, is kind of intriguing to me. And of course, Andrew Lloyd Webber's version, of course, is also very interesting, because Andrew Lloyd Webber is one of the all time greatest musical theater writers. And of course, because Andrew Lloyd Webber is one of the all time greatest composers and lyricists of our time. So, it's going to be interesting to see what comes of it. Another thing that I found very interesting and kind of surprising, but like when I saw it, I was like, oh, like not really surprising. I don't know. It was like a weird thing. But Dear Evan Hansen's own Jordan Fisher is going to be appearing on tomorrow's episode of High School Musical, the musical, the series. So that show will now feature three Evan Hansens in Andrew Barth Feldman, in Roman Banks, and Jordan Fisher. I mean, who's next? What do we think? Who do we have left? Ben, Taylor, Noah. I feel like I'm missing a couple. And of course, like the tour at Evans and every all of the other Evans out there in the world. There's a lot of productions going on. But I don't know, like, this is just an interesting topic, and I don't know. I feel like this, they're kind of just like making a running joke of it. Maybe it's season two and they're just going to stop after season two. Maybe it's just the fact that they didn't even plan on doing Dear Evan Hansen's, and Jordan Fisher just happened to be an Evan Hansen, but he's also has that Disney background, so they brought him on. I don't know. But like, if I had to guess who the next Evan would be, I don't feel like it would be Ben, unless he like played himself and was like, oh, like I'm scouting someone for like my new music thing, and like that's how like Nini or Ricky graduates. I don't know. But I feel like it would be like Taylor, low-key. Like, I don't know. I feel like Taylor could totally be someone who's young enough looking to still play in a high school kid or a sibling of some sorts. I don't know. It would just be very interesting. I don't know if they're going to be like planning on seeing the next Evan Hansen, but I think it'd be fun if they just continued with the theme going on, especially because like it seems like, I don't know if they're going to continue this North High, East High drama bit, but it is interesting. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do. So that would mean Andrew Barth Feldman and Roman Banks would be brought back for season three. So who knows? Maybe they will keep up with the trend. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I'm just so excited to see Jordan Fisher in this High School Musical, the musical, the series. And I hope to God he sings, but I don't think he will be. We'll see. Who knows? Let's see what else is going on. So Billy Porter, he is going to be making his directorial debut in a new feature film starring Renee Elise Goldsberry. I mean, it's only a matter of time at this point that Billy Porter directs a musical. I think it's very possible. Maybe it's an unpopular opinion. I would love to see it. He is literally taking over the entertainment industry single-handedly. He is so freaking talented. He's been able to conquer it all. Like, he's been able to do Pose, Kinky Boots. Now he's going to be making his directorial debut, like I said, in a new feature film called What If? And that's going to be starring Renee Elise Goldsberry. Another fun thing coming out is something called Edge of the World, written by Ethan Slater and Nick Blamire. And they're also starring in it with Lily Cooper and Norbert Leo Butts. Come on. Come on. Ethan Slater, Lily Cooper, Norbert Leo Butts, and Nick Blamire. Come on. This is just a wonderful cast, and I'm so excited. It's literally four people, and it's one of the, like, it's literally the best four singers in Broadway. Like, and just, it's just, I'm so excited. I literally can't. I actually just got off of doing an interview with in the cast. So we were able to talk a little bit about that, and that's going to be coming out very soon, because their soundtrack is coming out very soon. It's coming out Friday, August 6th. So I will be releasing that episode on Thursday, August 5th. That's going to be with some people in that wonderful cast. And I'm so excited to listen to this soundtrack that Ethan and Nick have written, because it's going to be amazing. I was reading all about it and just the synopsis of the whole thing and what they want to do with it and the process that they took throughout the whole thing, the topics that they're going to be dealing with, everything is just so moving and something that you all should be very excited about. It's going to be on all music platforms. You can listen to it anywhere you listen to music. You can also listen to it on Broadway Records, but also Spotify and Apple Music, which seem to be the more popular streaming services, I guess, for music, but also everywhere else. So stay tuned on that. It's called Edge of the World, and it's going to be amazing. So with that being said, that will wrap up this week's news segment, and we will actually be doing the Drama Dictionary segment later after this interview. So with that being said, Luke Manicus, curtain up. This week, we have a three-time Broadway show veteran. This was all before he was even at the age of 13. He is currently a student at the University of Michigan, majoring in musical theater, and he is making his off-Broadway debut in Trevor the Musical. So welcome to the Take a Bow podcast, Luke Manicus.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Hey! Oh my god, I'm so excited. This has been like long overdue, because we're gonna get into it, but like, you were the first like kid, like someone who was my age that like I looked up to, and we're gonna talk about why in a second. But before we do that, oh my god, stop, Luke, you're the coolest. So before we get to that, I usually like to start our episodes off in asking our guests how they got into theater and performing, and I know you've always been a dancer, so I know there's gonna be like a two-parter. So like, how did you get into dance, but then what introduced you to like musical theater?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. My brother and my sister always danced. And so by the time I could walk, my parents just signed me up immediately because it was just kind of inevitable. And I loved it. Like, I loved going to dance, and I loved performing and all that. So my mom asked me if I wanted to audition for a local community theater production of Scrooge. So I said yes, and I sang Scooby-Doo, and I didn't know the words.
Wait, where was this? Where was this?
The town next to me, Lakewood, New Jersey.
Okay.
So just like a local community theater, yeah. And I did that for 3 years, and I was ensemble. And then the third year, I was Tiny Tim. And that's when I sort of got a grasp for, you know, theater and how I liked it. And but I was always a dancer first. Like, dance was always my passion. And it came to a point where people were just telling my mom, like, oh, you should try to get him like started in the city. And my mom was like, no, but we'll try it. So she looked up like agents and managers, and we found Nancy Carson. We contacted her, sent her a video of me dancing, and at that time was like peak Billy Elliot time. So I was going into this industry thinking like, if I ever do anything, it'll be Billy Elliot. But that's not how it worked. it was like one of my first or second auditions, I don't even know, and I booked Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yes,
which was insane, because I still can't believe like how insane this like opportunity was, and I didn't even know what Broadway was, and which
right.
So in hindsight, I like regret a little bit, because it's like I didn't realize how good I had it at the time to just be
exactly
at such a young age, but yeah.
Yeah, you totally hit the nail on the head. It's exactly what I've been going through now. It's just a process that you go through, and you don't realize, like, you don't even realize like what you're doing. Like, you don't even realize that like you're on Broadway and like how cool it is, you know, until like you're like 18 going through puberty, and you're like, wait, what? Like,
yeah.
How does this work? Completely understandable. So you were a dancer, right? And you've been doing competitive dancing, and you still do it, right?
Well, I think my time on the competitive dance stage has retired, unfortunately.
Okay.
But yeah, up until March of 2020, I was a competitive dancer.
Oh my God, did COVID end your career?
Actually, I was fortunate enough. I did get to have my final dance competition in August. Because they had outside competitions. And so I did get to compete one last time, which was...
Oh, and you knew it was like your last one?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
it
that's
was really
awesome.
Special for me because it was my favorite solo I ever did. This is my last solo, you know. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was a great way to go out, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you've been a dancer. Like, how do you believe, so now that you're looking back on all of this and you've been a dancer and you've been in three Broadway shows and everything like that, how do you feel like dance is kind of like the staple of like musical theater and like preparing you to do 8 shows a week and all of that?
Yeah. That's a great question. Well, it's funny because I barely danced while I was working in that like 5-year span, and
right,
or 6, or I don't even know. And when I stopped working, I went back to dance, and like it was so like it's just my favorite thing to do. It helps me like relieve stress and all that, you know. It just feel all my emotions through dance. But something I also realized was like I can't have dance without theater, and I can't have theater without dance. Like for me, they need to
go hand in hand.
Yeah, they need to work together. So, but I think the importance of dance in theater is like, you know, even just in blocking and like acting, movement, just all of these things work together in theater. And like, I don't know. It's really interesting because you could take a show like Dear Evan Hansen, for example, and they're not necessarily like dancing, but there's still choreography and it's still like a beautiful masterpiece.
Exactly.
So I think dance is inevitable in theater.
Exactly. And same with like plays, like even when there's like no music, like the block, you don't understand like what lifting your arm at a certain point could do, you know, like just for your acting and for everything and just the storytelling in general. You're totally right. Movement and dance and everything, they all coincide and they like all complement one another. And I think that's like the beauty of musical theater is like everything just like blends perfectly.
Yeah.
And you have, and it's all very different at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think the movement can carry out the emotion, or like
they
carry each other out, if that makes any sense.
Totally. Okay, so now you're doing, so now let's talk about Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. So before we talk about your little Broadway debut that you had, not a big deal, at 9 years old, you got to do like the like beginning process of it in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
So how cool was, first of all, I'm really jealous that you went to Toronto because that is a place that is on my bucket list. But also like, so like how long was the reading? How does like that, or was it a reading or a workshop? Like how does that all work? And talk about like the beginning process of that show.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I don't even know if there was a reading because Priscilla started in Australia and then it went to the West End.
Right.
And then it came to North America.
Okay.
And their out-of-town tryout in North America was in Toronto. And that's where that's where I joined the cast. And honestly, it was just like insane because for me, I just saw it as like, oh, cool. I'm just doing like a fun show in another country. And I didn't realize like, I was being a part of this like creation in a way.
Right.
And so after Toronto, when we went to Broadway, everything changed. And I didn't completely understand why, or not everything, but a lot of things changed. And then I right then and there, like, learned the importance of an out-of-town tryout and how they really can, like, steer what's going to happen in the Broadway production and, like, see what works and what doesn't.
And you were what, like, eight?
I was eight in Toronto, and I turned nine in Toronto, and then I was nine on Broadway, and then I turned 10 on Broadway. So that was
cool. Oh, my God. That's so cool. And at the time, like, I know we've talked about, like, not maybe knowing the importance of, like, what you were doing and how cool it was to be on Broadway. But it's also, like, the shows that you've been in, like, literally all three of them, but, like, in particular, Priscilla, it has such an impactful message to the show. And do you, as a 9-year-old, like, do you grasp that? Like, do you know kind of what you're doing, like, on the stage?
No, I didn't, because it's so funny, because I, like, you know, when you're nine, you're just a very, like, literal person. So right. I remember I would go to school and I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm in a show with drag queens. And my teachers were like, oh, cool. And then like, you know, there's words in the show that aren't pleasant to hear.
Kid friendly.
For me, I was like, oh, they're just words. Like, I didn't understand the severity of them. And in hindsight, like, the message of Priscilla was just beautiful, and it's so important. And I'm very glad I could have been a part of being able to tell that story and bring that story to people that needed to hear it. But I wish I could have understood it more. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, yeah, it totally makes sense. I mean, you don't get it at nine. Like, it's hard. It's hard to grasp. And then you, looking back on it, you're like, wow, that was, like, really something cool to be a part of. Like, same, like, I was 13, 14 when I did Trevor, and I still, like, it didn't really hit to, like, afterwards of how much of an impact that story has. Like, you just realize it more when you're out of it too. Like, you're just so focused on, you know, learning it and doing what you need to do every night. You kind of get lost in that, and you kind of don't realize what you're doing, you know?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So Priscilla brought you so many cool, like, opportunities, including one of the you got to perform on the Macy's Day Parade. Let's talk about that day, because I have also done that, and it's like a whirlwind of a day. What time did you have to wake up? Did you have a show? Like, tell me, like, that day. Well, if you remember.
I actually remember it very well.
Oh, good.
And what's really fun about it was, at the time, they were having, like, kids vlog their, like, experience. And so that year, I was chosen as, like, the kid vlogger for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day
You're
Parade.
You're kidding.
And I have no idea if you can find it on YouTube still. I don't think you can, because I think it's, like, blocked in this country now. But it was really fun, because I had – my mom got me a fedora, and I had, like, a little thing that said press. So my mom just, like, followed me around all the rehearsals with a camera, and then – the day of, I had to stay at like a friend's apartment because we don't live in the city. We live an hour and a half outside of the city in New Jersey.
Oh God.
So we would have had to wake up at like 2 a.m. and my mom was like, this is not happening. So we stayed at a friend's apartment in the city. And we got up at like, I don't even know. It was still dark out. And it was freezing. It was really cold. But I got to be in a kangaroo suit and show the world my smiling face. And I wish I could do that again.
Right, right. And then did you have to do a show that night?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
I don't think so. Cause... I think we had the day off.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Usually, like, well, obviously, like, Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday. So, like, you usually have, like, a show on Thursdays, right? It's not a Monday or anything. So, when I experienced it, you literally wake up at, like, 4 a.m. Like, literally, like you said, it's dark. And it's freezing because it's the late November. And it's craziness. Like, it's literally because you can't even go like to the parade. You have to go to your theater first, and then you have to like get into costume. There's just so many things that go into it. And then, of course, was that the first time that you were in a recording studio, like, because you have to lip sync?
I didn't really sing any of the ensemble parts in that show. So no, I don't. That wasn't my first time in the recording studio. Was for the cast album for Priscilla.
For Priscilla, so, okay. How was that? What is that like? How cool is that?
That was really cool. I had a cold, so it's.
Oh no!
I remember I was a little upset, but I don't think you could.
They're long
tell.
Days.
But yeah, I had a cold, and I got to sing with Will Swenson. Which was just so fun because I still see him, even though I haven't spoken to him in years, I still see him as like a father figure in my life just because he was for a significant amount of time, especially when you're growing up, you change so much in like the 2 years that you work together. So that was really fun. I really did enjoy doing the cast album.
Let's talk about that, because that cast in like Will Swenson, you also had Keala Settle, and you had like all of these amazing people, like not only in Priscilla, but like how especially as a kid, and like you said, you're changing and everything, like how impactful was it to like have adults surrounding you that like while you were growing up and the impact that people had in your lives?
It was really inspiring. And motivating, because it's kind of like I had 20 different parents, you know, like just all these people were just like sharing their wisdom or just like joking with me. They never saw me as like, you are a little boy. Like it was very much like I felt like an adult, even though I had a guardian and stuff. It was a really fun experience. What was really fun was my dressing room, me and Ashton's dressing room was right next to Ellen Marie Marsh's dressing room. And she's a mom. So she was really fun and like always like joking around with us, which was because I mean, you know, Ellen, she's the funniest person I met. Like she's so funny. So that was really fun because I got to just listen to Ellen sing and joke around.
Right. It totally like takes away from the aspect, because like you say, like when you reflect on it and you're like an 18-year-old and you're like, wow, my parents really handed me off to strangers when I was like 8 years old. Like how? But it totally like you're right, like you create this new family and like that you just like you don't even know, and it doesn't even register that you're like, where's my mom? Where's my siblings? Where is this? Because you're like, oh, this is my family for the time being.
Yeah. Yeah. And I felt so safe with them, you know?
Yeah.
It was like the best environment to, I think, have my first professional credit, you know?
Yeah. That's so cool. Oh my god. Wait, so let's talk about Matilda, because okay. You also like did recording and stuff for that because you were in the original Broadway cast. Woot woot. You've done it all. So you're in Matilda, right? And you're covering, what is it, three roles?
On Broadway, I covered Eric and Nigel, and I understudied Bruce, but I never learned any of the Bruce stuff, so I don't think that counts. On tour, I covered all four boys. Yeah,
all four boys. Oh my god! Yes, so tell me, talk to me about what that's like, doing multiple roles. You know, kind of keeping track of them and doing that every night.
Well, it was easy for. The first, it's because, I don't know how to explain it. It was fun. It was a fun little challenge.
Right.
Always a new experience every night. It was fun to be surrounded by 15 other kids. And I think what was easy was they were very, very, not strict, but they stressed the importance of like note taking and organization and discipline.
Sure.
And so at 11 years old, I was able to just like take notes and be very observant and look at other people's notes and be like, okay, I should apply that to my own performance. So when I did the Broadway shows, I only had to know the two parts, and it's just like, I learned it. I learned them simultaneously, and I never really saw it as a challenge. Then that was really beneficial for me when I did the tour, because I had already known two of the parts, so mm-hmm. I only had to learn two more. So it was like, it was fun. It was a nice little challenge.
So was the tour and like Broadway like very similar as far as the tracks and everything?
I'd say so, yeah. I'd say they tried to keep as much things similar as they could. I mean, obviously, there were subtle differences, like the desks didn't go into the floor. They came on and off screen.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that they were all very similar.
Nothing
major.
To
what I can recall, yeah.
Right. Well, that's great. So, okay, touring and Broadway in the same show is so cool. And then, did you go on for Bruce when you were on tour?
Yeah, that was loud, I'm sorry.
You're good.
I got one show per track I covered a week, except for Eric, because I was a little too old for Eric anyway, but that track was like, dual covered, so the girl swing covered Eric, and then I also covered Eric, and so she always went on as Eric, and I think I only went on as Eric three times on tour, but I went on as Bruce, Nigel, and Tommy at least once a week, which was so fun because then I got three like guaranteed shows a week.
Did you get any guaranteed shows on Broadway?
Yeah. So I got one show as Nigel and one show as Eric on Broadway.
Okay, and then when you went on tour, you were like, they said you were a little too old for Eric.
The funny story about tour was, I think I was a little too old for the tour as well. but I got a call and it was like, hey, we need a boy to be the swing on tour. Would you like to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, they had to like see me and make sure I could still like sing.
Right.
Because I was 13, so the voice change was coming up at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I like went, I had a little like audition kind of thing. Except it was with the same creative team that I had always worked with, and they were like, okay, you're still good. You can do the tour. So
I love that.
Yeah, it was fun.
Plus, you get to go see, like, so many cool, like, cities and states, and, like, you get to, like, tour around the country, and you're just not, like, it's not, like, it's different from doing it on Broadway still. I don't know.
Yeah, I lived in LA for 7 weeks,
which
was, like, really cool.
So cool. I love that. And like, it brings you to like, would you have gone to LA otherwise? Like,
no, I haven't been to LA since.
Exactly. Know? So it like gives you an excuse to like see the world while you're like working and like performing and doing what you love. Like that's,
yeah,
there's nothing better than touring. So then you're on the Tony Awards for Matilda. Okay. Like how cool is it to like perform at the Tonys, first of all?
I think I cried. I think I cried. I don't really remember. But that was really cool, especially since I was a swing. So I didn't expect that they would like want us to be on the Tonys.
Right.
But they made it a point that we could all like be on it. And I'm really grateful for that because it was so much fun.
Well, it was so cool because, you know, you have like, you have swings and you have four Matildas and like, you have like all of these things going. And I'm sure that was very difficult for like the whole creative team when it came to stuff like that. And when it came to like the cast's recording and stuff like that. But that's so cool that they were able to literally incorporate everyone into the show, because really the show wouldn't be happening without all of you guys. So like, you need each of you. So it was so cool to like be able to do that. And I couldn't imagine. So like, take me through your like day of the Tonys.
To be honest, I don't remember.
Is it blocked?
I wish I could remember better. No, I don't think it's necessarily blocked. I was just, it was a long day. Actually, I think I vaguely do remember. I do remember I did do a show. I think it was, are the Tonys on a Sunday?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did do the Sunday matinee that week. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend come see the show. So I left the little, like, alleyway that the kids left because we didn't exit through the stage door. I said hi to my friend. And then I think I had, like, a half-hour break before we had to go to Radio City. And then it was just, like, you know, we had been rehearsing. So it was kind of just like, okay, now apply everything you learned in these rehearsal rooms onto the stage and have fun. By the way, there are so many people watching from their homes right now, kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
it's fun. Yeah.
Tell me, okay, so the Schubert is a very big theater, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's huge compared to like the Music Box where Pippin is, you know, it's huge. But Radio City is bigger. So what was that just like, not even like as far as this stage, because the stage is probably bigger too, but like just being on that stage and seeing like double the people in Radio City,
it was really cool. I think I was trying to count the balconies while I was like doing the little Revolting Children dance,
right?
Because I was like, is that three, is that four? Oh, wait, I have to fight someone right now.
Right.
So that was funny.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that so much. Okay, so you're doing so many cool things. And I mean, you do, I mean, the coolest performances, like the Tonys, the Macy's Day Parade, like all of these. And then you have two Broadway shows under your belt, and then you get a third, and that's Pippin, and that's where we met. And literally, like, as I said, you were like the first one who like I looked up to, because that was my first Broadway show and I was taking over for you. And I knew, like, I don't know, I just like, this is the guy who I need to like come in and be like, and like, this is who I have to model my show after and everything. Like, I don't know, it was just like, you were like a big brother for me for like that 3 week period of learning the show. And literally, you were literally taking me around the theater, showing me like the candy lady in the house manager, and like, you were showing me like all the cool things about the theater and our dressing room and like what to do. And then even outside the theater, you would take the time and you would introduce me to the kids at the Broadway park. I didn't even know it was a thing. Like, you did like so many cool things that you probably don't even realize, but it's definitely something that I always remember. So thank you for that, first of all. And second of all, how was Pippin for you? Because it's just such a unique show with the circus and the makeup and the wig and all of that compared to all of these shows that you've done.
Well, first off, that means a lot to me. I always saw you as, I think There was a long time where I was like, yeah, Eli Tokash is my best friend.
Right.
I would like introduce you as my best friend to so many people for the longest yes. time. I really enjoyed the time that I spent with you. In fact, I still have that little like magnet you gave me.
Stop! Oh my god, that's so funny. That's so cute.
And what's funny about this magnet is its good friends are like stars. And then you went and did Finding Neverland.
Right. Oh, God.
Is all stars and stuff. So.
Right. Oh, my God. Funny. That's so cute. Thank you for bringing that on. That's so cute.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm going to bring this up at some point.
That's awesome.
But yeah, Pippin was a totally new experience for me. There was so much freedom for us. I felt really independent in that show. Sort of just like I went from working with a cast of 16 kids,
right?
Just sharing the role with Ashton, which was very familiar with me because we had worked together in Priscilla. So that was really fun. Just to get to like have this new, like, I am an adult now in the theater, and this role actually has a significant part in the show. You know, it's different going from like a swing to like an actual part that has lines and sings. And
right.
I'd say is, you know, Theo is a pretty important part of the story. So that was really cool. Cause I never felt like I was like, wow, this is a principal role and I'm on Broadway.
Right. That was like your aha moment, you know, like yeah. that was like, oh my God, I have made it.
And I also hadn't joined a cast like midway through the process yet. So that was a really cool experience and a really scary experience because I was like, oh, you want me to walk on a ball? That's impossible.
Right.
So that was fun though. Walking on the ball is a skill that like I'm so grateful to have learned because how many people can say they can walk on a ball and like did it on a Broadway stage, you know?
Exactly.
So that's really cool.
Do you still do you feel like you could still do it?
I don't know. I feel like I need those shoes, like those fancy shoes that we had. And then maybe.
For sure. Like the rubber bottoms or whatever, like this, they literally were like circus shoes or whatever.
Custom,
and I was like ooh, I'm
custom
cool.
imported shoes,
yeah,
somewhere special. I loved Pippin so much. It's my favorite musical, it's my favorite show I've done. Like,
oh wow,
I'll say it a million times. Pippin's my dream role.
Oh, so. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, aww, I love that. Have you like is I don't know, like I feel like schools are doing that now, like is that like a thing you could do for like Michigan or like, I mean, who knows, maybe Diane's gonna revive it again, I don't know,
who knows. I don't know, we'll have to see. You know, if it's the thing about dream roles for me is like I never expect to do any shows, as much as I'd love to do Pippin, I would also love to do whatever's written in the future for me.
Right.
If anything is, you know, which I hope there is, but
yeah.
So as much as I want to do Pippin, I would completely be happy if I never did it again, just because whatever happens, happens. And I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason.
Totally.
So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But that being said, I would.
It's good to put it out there.
I'd be so happy to do it anytime ever again. I would.
Right.
Be at
so who's ever listening to this? If you're a producer, revive Pippin. Luke Manicus is gonna be Pippin. I'll be the king. I'll be the old guy. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, seriously, that's. I love that. I don't know. Dream roles are. I don't know. They're so cool. I love them. I have like. So many dream roles that I'm just like, at this point, I don't care. But like, same with you, where I'm like, I don't know, like, I kind of like want to be the person that like, or like, not the person, but like the actor who is able to share a story so well. And people are like, oh, that's my dream role. You know, like, I want to have that impact too. But yeah, totally understandable. Going back to like what you were saying, by the way, is like introducing me as your best friend. Like, first of all, wow, thank you. And second of all, literally, like, I don't think like a lot of people like understood it from like my perspective, because like I was literally coming here. I wasn't in school yet during rehearsal. Like, I didn't know anyone. And like, I knew like two people because I did the Mary Poppins tour, and like Alexa Nijak was going into Matilda, and maybe Nikki Torsha was in Kinky Boots at the time. I don't know. But so like, I only knew like a handful of people from A Christmas Story and Mary Poppins, which were the only two like professional shows that I did. And you were like, I knew you for 2 weeks, and we were like inseparable for like those 2 weeks. And like,
we clicked,
you
were so fast. So
yeah. Long. Yeah. And like, you were able to just allow me to come into your friend group and like do all of these things for me that like even me, myself at the time, like I was like, oh, I don't understand. But like, looking back on it, I'm like, how do I know you? Like, how did we like meet? And it's always like, oh, Luke Manicus introduced us. That's right.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, like I still have those moments like with the Morrows and stuff. Like, I'm like, how did we meet? And Madeline was like, oh, well, like I was in Matilda with Luke. And I was like, oh, of course, that makes sense. So
that's
like,
so funny.
It all comes back to Luke Manicus, you know, like it really does. But yeah, seriously. So I'm thank you for everything. Like, cause I literally didn't know anyone. I have no friends coming to New York, not from here. And then you were able to like let me in so easily. So you made the transition effortless, as they say.
And that really means a lot to me to hear. Just,
oh my God.
I don't know. It's just sweet that you like also remember this, you know?
Oh
like,
my God.
You were so young. I wouldn't expect you to. So
yeah. Well, I mean, like it was literally like the most terrifying time for me coming. Like, I know no one, coming to a new state. I'm from West Virginia, where it's like a small town, and then coming to like this, and there's lights everywhere and people walking on the street. Like, that's just not a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not what happens. And like learning the subway station and everything, like it was all very like, whoa, like it was like a shock to me. And like, just to
it
know I had
like
someone there. Yeah. And it's like it's a total culture shock. And then just to like know from day one that like you have someone is just it helps, you know. Like, I had my dad who was living with me, but he was in the same boat and trying to figure everything out, plus the more like finances and apartments and all of these things that he had. So like, it was really just like me for some of it. And then, of course, you were able to just, like, be there for me. And, like, whenever I had questions, I would be like, Luke, where's Luke? And then, finally, you came back to Pippin, and we were actually able to do the show together. That's still one of my favorite memories, because Ashton went on vacation. And
that was so cool.
That was,
I remember making a post. It was a mirror selfie, and I was like, I'll be back in Pippin for 1 week, starting this date to this date.
Yes. Oh my God.
And we had so much fun that week.
We did. That week, like, I totally understand what you meant about like the freedom and everything. Thomas, huge shout out to Thomas Bradfield, because he literally like let us, like, he just trusted us, you know, like, and he was not the type of wrangler who was going to be like, no, you can't do this. He was always going to be like, you can do this, but like, be smart about it. And like, he like really like taught us how to do it, like how to like be careful. And like, he wasn't gonna shadow us 24/7. He would be around if we needed him, you know? Like, it was like, he was awesome to have, especially in that show where there's a million things to learn with and all kinds of new people from France and Russia and all these places, like, learn from and to like talk to and hear stories. It was just like, it was just a incredible production to be a part of, especially as your first show. It just opens you to so much. But yeah, it was so cool. And so let's talk about this full circle moment that we're having here. So now, you were in rehearsals for Trevor when COVID shut down, right?
Yeah.
So where were you in rehearsals first off? Like, how far in were you guys?
I think we were 2 weeks. We were going to go to the theater in 2 weeks. So we had two more weeks of rehearsal, and then we were going to move into the theater.
So what's your role in the show?
So, funny story. I played Luke.
Luke!
My name is Luke.
Stop it! Oh my god. I didn't know that that's the role that you were playing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, I mean, I'm old.
It totally makes sense. It all makes sense now. So, so when I was in the show, it was a kid named Justin. And he was doing it, and like, he's not a kid because he was 18. He was like already an adult, and we were like looking up to him and everything, but it totally makes sense because he was the dancer, you know, like he was the kid dancer. So it makes sense that you're the kid dancer of like Trevor, you know?
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's really funny is your Lindsay, Carly Meyer, shout out to Carly Meyer.
Oh my god,
goes to school with me.
There's so many full circle moments.
And I love her so much. So it's just like, who would have thought that, I don't know. I also think about Trevor is like, I didn't think I would work again until after college.
Yeah.
And I had this time of my life that I was like, no theater. No film. Like, I want to be a kid again. And it was the worst year of my life because I didn't realize that, like, theater was literally what kept me going, you know? And that year was, like, the first time that I was like, okay, I actually need to, like, make a career out of this. Like, I can't just give up on it. Because, I don't know, it's all I've ever known.
Right.
So when I did Trevor, I was like, thank you, because I could finally get a chance to perform again. And so I was willing to do anything to make that work. So I would go to school in the morning at 6 a.m.
Oh, my God.
And then go to the first few periods and then leave school early, hop on a bus, go to the city, and then rehearse all day and then come home, go to sleep and do it all again.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
Yeah, which was fun. yikes, that's crazy. And now I do want to talk to you about like performing as an adult. Like, you know, like all you know is like being a kid. Like, do you notice anything changes? How you approach rehearsals, how you approach the story, how you approach everything, really?
Yeah, I think I'm so much more present, like in the moment, because, you know, not to be cheesy, but I've realized that, you know, things like go by fast. And if you don't salvage every moment, you start to regret it. And I don't like living with regret. So I just, in Trevor, I tried to enjoy like every single moment, not let it go to waste. And I'm very appreciative of that because it was also cool being like the oldest of the children, quote unquote, because I don't know, I just like worked with all these people that I felt were the same age as me because they were all so professional.
Right.
And you always hear when you're a child actor, like, oh, you're so mature, you're so professional, but you don't understand it until you are in their shoes and like working with other children that you're like, you are so mature, you are so professional. So right. That was full circle for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, now you are of an age where you can understand this story and this, what you are being like, what you are doing on a stage and what you're trying to make audience feel and the emotions that just go into it all and like really understand this, everything, you know, like it just, and to have that be like, this is your first show. I don't know how people listening, how familiar they are with the story, but it is about the Trevor Project. And it there's this short film called Trevor. And it's kind of like based off of that. And they're turning it into a musical. And it's about this, I guess, I guess teenager, would you say? Preteen?
Preteen, teenager, yeah.
Preteen, boy. Yeah, eighth grade, right? Like seventh, eighth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, so middle school kid, and he's finding out that, you know, he's in love with this other man, the jock of the school, Pinky. So that's kind of ironic that this jock of the school is named Pinky. So that's kind of what the story is about. And then, of course, like not being accepting, the people around him not quite being accepting of him and tend to bully him and, you know, go through unpleasant days where he tries to ultimately commit suicide and it doesn't work, and he's ends up in a hospital and he meets this doctor or this nurse who kind of gives him a new positive outlook of life. And so that's, and he's in love with Diana Ross and like loves shows and theater and totally like everything. So it's just like totally not what the rest of the people around him are doing. They're all into basketball and cheerleading and whatnot. So that's what this story is about. And it's very, very impactful. And it's literally going to make you feel every emotion. You're going to be crying from laughter and sadness. So Luke, are you going to be, do you know if you're going to be able to do it when it reopens?
I don't know what my future with Trevor looks like. But I will say, whether I'm in it or not, I'm just happy this story's going to be told.
Right.
I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add on the story, by the way? Like, you can.
It's a really emotional show. And I want to shout you out, Eli, because I don't know how you handled that. and like, it's just really intense. And it definitely does test your emotional, like, limits. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's amazing that anyone that plays that role of Trevor is like so just powerful, because they have this ability to act, and not only act, but like it feel and experience and this empathy that like is really challenging and really probably like is exhausting emotionally, but you power through and you get through it. And it's just, it's really cool. And everyone that plays that role is insanely talented. I don't know how.
Yeah, bottom line, when it comes down to it, it's just like, you know, you love to be on stage, you know, like anyone like that. If I would have seen Trevor, you know, I would have been like, wow, that's my dream role. Like, that's a role that you're like, wow, that you're just like, so like when I was actually like 13, 14 doing that show, and I was able to understand it and kind of, and like understand the story and just the fact that like you did not leave the stage, even though it was vocally exhausting and emotionally, like you knew the importance of it and you knew like you just wanted to be on that stage. And you like afterwards, you're hearing these stories from people who were at the show and you're like, that's why I have to do it again tomorrow, you know, like. There's just so many things that keeps you going. And, you know, like literally once you're on the stage, you just want to be on the stage. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. That's just how you do it. And you run on adrenaline, and it's amazing. And I can't wait to see Hudson is in it if he does open the show when it comes back. Because he's
so great.
So talented. He's so talented. And all of you guys, like, huge shout out to everyone. Like, Mark, who goes to school with me, Mark Aguirre, Yale, I've met a couple times, Ava Briglia, Isabella Russo. There's a bunch of people. Just everyone in the show is so talented. And to be in that show, like, it's a lot. And it's so, so exciting. And I can't wait for it to come back off Broadway when... Yeah. When Broadway reopens. When COVID reopens. Oh my god, that would be a mess.
No, thank you.
No. Not another year of this. So before I let you go, how would this work? So would you have to, like, if Trevor did approach you, right? And they were like, oh, we do want you to come back and reopen the show with us and everything. So what would you do with Michigan?
I don't know. I guess I'd have to see.
Like, could you take like a gap year semester kind of thing? I don't know. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I.
Or could you do like? I mean, we just did a year and a half virtually, kind of. Like, could you do that? Like, I don't know.
I think it's definitely an option. We'll see. I don't know. I have to talk to so many people about it, you know,
yeah.
and try to get their advice on it. It's definitely like I'm in a pickle a little bit.
Yeah, but it's a good one to be in. Like, you can't lose.
I'm so know? Lucky that this yeah. is like the choices that I have to make.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Well, there's so many great things going on in Luke Manicus's life, and there's so many cool things to share. And I'm so glad that you were able to share it all today with us. Thank you for coming on. It was so good to catch up with you and
thank
see
you, so
you
much
again
for having me.
Yes, of course. Literally, we have to see each other soon. Okay.
Yes.
Me,
yes.
You, Madeline. We're gonna have like a great little field trip day. I don't know, whatever. I'll come to you. You can come wherever. I don't know. But yes, we definitely have to hang out soon. It's been way too long. This interview has been long overdue. And literally, I can't thank you enough. Good luck in school. Break legs if you're able to do Trevor. Either way, you're going to be amazing. And it's all going to work out the way it's supposed to. And everything happens for a reason. So yeah.
Thank you so much.
Of course, of course. Take a bow, Luke Manicus. I don't know about you all, but I had a blast talking to someone who's kind of my age and kind of gone through similar productions and kind of similar journeys as I have. And just talking about like us being 12 years old and being on Broadway and kind of looking back on that now that we're 18 and we realize that, you know, this is something that is a career and something that you need, like, it's more serious now. And we were kind of just doing it for fun back then. And we kind of didn't realize what we were doing. And so just talking to someone who really looked at it the same way that I did was something really cool for me. And I hope that you all kind of enjoyed that fun little conversation that we had about that and also about everything else. And I was, like I said earlier, just talking about Trevor again and talking about Pippin again. I don't know. Pippin is literally unlike anything else. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was one in physical like tricks and everything like that, but also like who I was as a performer and as an actor and as a person and all of these wonderful things. Taught me so much. We mentioned a lot, you know, Luke and I's relationship and just being able to be backstage and not have someone who was kind of isolating the kids from the adults and whatnot. And they kind of encouraged the whole kids to adults relationship as long as the adults were okay with it. And it was such an amazing show to have your Broadway debut on and to listen to him talk about it and have those same opinions as I had just solidified my point of view and just how special that was. And of course, like I said, talking about Trevor, and I'm just so excited to see it when it comes off Broadway. I'm going to be seeing it within the first couple weeks of it being off Broadway. So I'm so excited for that. And yeah, it's going to be amazing. And I don't know if anyone has seen videos from Chicago's version of Trevor, but it's a show that you don't want to miss, for sure. I would love to get a director or producer on of Trevor and talk about the difficulties in finding kids and being able to sustain that, because I know like now they're going to have to recast some of the show because, you know, they are kids and they grow and they change and they do all these things. And they had this wonderful cast that they were in rehearsals with. And now that COVID hit and people are going to college and people are doing all these things, they have to adjust. And they're going to be dealing with that for quite some time, as long as they're going to be on as long as they're going to be running. Right now, tickets are selling through April, and it's later on in April, though, so you have time if you're not quite comfortable yet and you want to come after the New Year's or whatever to New York to see this wonderful show that you, honest to God, you don't want to miss. And talking to him about Trevor and talking to him about the story of Trevor and how much it means to him and everyone else, and just to be in that room and everything, it's so special, and you're going to leave the theater just in tears, but also just uplifted and hopeful and encouraged. Please go see Trevor the Musical when it is off Broadway. I'm the biggest fan of Trevor the Musical and forever will be. Not in the show or in the show, I will still be a forever fan, and could not be more thankful for my time in that beautiful show playing Trevor. And I just can't wait to see it again and have that musical and those songs and everything else back into my life. I think it's something very important. And just everything Luke had to say about, you know, being a young kid performing and what it was like and being in, you know, the Macy's Parade and doing all of these things, the Tony Awards and doing out of town things in Toronto for Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. All of these things was just really cool to hear about from a young person's perspective. I don't know if it was for you guys. I mean, obviously now he's 18 and whatnot, but when he was doing it, he was 11. So we haven't had those stories in a while. So just to hear those stories again from a young person, and I know we've talked about it a lot with adults and everything, but as a kid, it's a very different experience, I believe. And it was just good to hear those again. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Go check out Luke. Oh, and I'm so sorry I'm not used to this, but we're going to do the Drama Dictionary before we wrap it up. This week's Drama Dictionary word of the week is going to be, drumroll please, crossover. And what a crossover is it's the portion of the stage that's like behind the stage, so no one really sees it. As an audience member, it's like you don't even know that there is a space behind the stage. I mean, like, you think it's just a wall because that's kind of what they have there. But in actuality, they have kind of like a exaggerated wing, I guess you could say. And, you know, like those little offstage where you're kind of waiting to get onto the stage or be seen by the audience because you're kind of on the stage already. And you're just waiting for your entrance just to, like, if you step a foot, you're literally on the stage. So yeah, it's one of those longer ones that is literally the entire length of the stage. And that's how, like, if you have to exit the stage on one end, say like stage left, but then your next cue that you have to go on for is on stage right. And then you're like, oh shoot, how do I get over there without going on the stage and without being seen? And that's what the crossover is used for. So it's literally a crossover to the other side of the stage. And some theaters are actually too small to have crossovers. So they have to do it like, you have to like go up the stairs or you have to go down the stairs and you have to do it on another floor and it just takes double the time. So it's craziness, but some theaters have it, and I've been lucky enough to work in two theaters that have had it. And Finding Neverland was one that I had to use it a lot. That crossover was pivotal for especially Jack's performance. Peter, not so much. Peter's was kind of easy and he was able to do all that stuff on stage and be in the right place for the next cue. So that was great. And of course, Trevor, that's kind of why I brought this up. Trevor, I don't know if it's going to be like this still, but when I did Trevor in Chicago, literally did not leave the stage, okay? I left it once, and it was to crossover because I had to change and make an entrance on the other side of the stage. It was insane because while you're crossing over, you're literally changing and you're like running to place and you're like throwing shirts and pants and whatever. It's just madness what people do during a performance when they're off stage. Like I said many times on this podcast, it's literally another show backstage. So that's what a crossover is. It's pivotal in a lot of performances, and some of theaters that don't have it, it's like even harder. And you may notice, like, if a main character isn't on the stage for a long time and they appear on the other side of the stage next entrance, it could be because they had to delay it for crossover. Like in Finding Neverland, we actually had to like have little bits added to delay some of the parts that so that people could get dressed or people could cross over and do all these crazy things because too many people were using the crossover at once and it was going to be dangerous. So we had to keep delaying and make the scenes longer or add a little bit or something. It's just wild what goes into it. And that's what solidifies the show. And that's what you see and you don't even realize, you know, it's just crazy. So that's what a crossover is. And that wraps up this week's episode. Thank you all so much for listening to episode 61 of Take a Bow. And I hope you'll join us next week for an incredible episode with a Jimmy Award finalist. He's currently in Jagged Little Pill. I don't know if I just gave it away. I didn't say the name, so maybe not. It's a great, great one. And he has a very exciting announcement also that he makes on the podcast. So stay tuned next week, next Thursday. I hope to see you all there. And until then, bye everyone. Have a great week. For this episode's Curtain Call, I would like to recognize a few people who also deserve to take a bow. This podcast would not be possible without the help from Dory Berenstein, Brittany Bigelow, Katie Rosen, Alan Seals, and the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Next in line to take a bow is Tessie Tokash, who edits the audio and all the visuals for this podcast. A special thanks to patrons Brian Thompson, Pat McNamara, the listeners at PCC, as well as all of the other patrons for their continued support. If you're interested in becoming a patron, go to patreon.com/TAB. And if you enjoyed this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe on the platform that you're currently listening to this on. Also, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram at Take a Bow Podcast. Take a Bow's logo is designed by Giselle Bustos, and the music is by Nikki Torsha and Cormac Collinon. Bye, everyone. Hope to see you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.